Welcome to the Edge Shift podcast with Katie Novak.
Really around this idea of like research and strategies and people doing interesting things.
And Chris Astle.
Doing what's best for kids, like putting kids at the center.
Our goal at EdShift is to dive into educational trends and practices and to connect you with educators and innovators around the world who are committed, in subtle and in grand ways, to shifting the fabric of education. Check out the show notes for ways to connect with us and our guests.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the EdShift podcast. Really excited for our conversation today. We have a really special, exciting guest here. It's me!
I love it. You are an amazing and exciting guest today, Katie, because you have been working on a project that I think is super cool. And you sent me some stuff to read about it last week. And I'm like, why are we not doing a podcast on this? Because more people need to know about this. And you've just been, you know, unearthing some really interesting and relevant data across the globe. So let's talk about it. So what you've created is called the EdTech Assessment Tool. Mm-hmm. What prompted you to go down this pathway and create the tool and make it accessible to, you know, teachers and leaders all around the world?
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. I think it's a pretty cool project too. So a few years ago, you know, we're having lots of conversations with colleagues and this idea that, you know, where, you know, we are in our professional lives, we get to talk to lots of different people, you know, and there are consistent things that came up when we talk to people who are seeing good things with their education technology implementations. You know, there was consistencies there. And, you know, we sort of developed this idea of the formula for success, where we talk about the idea that a lot of schools, a lot of organizations, when they're buying tech for education, are going like, okay, we need hardware. We need like to put the big screen on the wall and like, that'll be great. And that's actually backwards from how we've come to see that it really needs to work in order to be successful. It needs to start with pedagogy. Teaching practice first, always. And then the decision about what software is needed to support that pedagogy. And then hardware to support the software that supports the pedagogy. And the idea that professional development needs to be wrapped around all of that, including the teaching practice. So, you know, we're talking lots about this and like, okay, how do we chunk those things out? How do we even get a level higher than that idea in order to help people understand the different things that they need to be good at for their EdTech implementation to be effective?
I'm going to jump in because this is what got me so excited. Because if you think about, we've had all of these great guests on. And like, I think about Philippa and some of the other conversations we've had lately. And it's all about exactly what you just said. Like, how do we think about what we want to achieve? And then how do we create that framework and structure? And then the technology is just a piece that we put in there to get to the goal.
Totally.
And then you develop, you know, this EdTech assessment tool, and spoiler alert, you've kind of identified these 32 capabilities, but what you've done is create these really concrete things that a school system can start to look at and say, oh, I can do, we need to evaluate, we need to look at. And it makes something that feels abstract or feels big and unapproachable really concrete. And I think that is really exciting and really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And we've seen that, and I've gotten that feedback as well, you know, which is great. And so we, you know, we took all of these different frameworks actually from different global organizations, you know, didn't just make stuff up. If you listen to our last episode of the podcast, you'll know that sometimes I make stuff up, like entire books in high school. In this case, we didn't make stuff up, you know, looked and did like a really comprehensive review of frameworks that people like ISTE, like the OECD, like CASEL, had in place in terms of, you know, standards, skills, things that were needed. And that's really where we came up with these 32 capabilities that you mentioned, Chris, is really did this big literature review and then refined everything down into these different capabilities. And we actually started with 22, and then the pandemic happened. And we're like, hybrid. What's the same and what's different about hybrid? And so we, at that point, added 10 different capabilities. So this tool is really cool because it works in two ways. So on an individual, like a school or a district or a trust level, you know, a group of people or individuals can take it at the school level and basically evaluate themselves on each of these different capabilities. We also ask them about their, like, what technology are they using? What kind of outcomes are they seeing? And that's not just learning outcomes. That's like, you know, teacher engagement and retention. That's, you know, ranking in places that schools are ranked. It's, you know, yes, it's student engagement and, you know, academic outcomes. It's kind of the whole range of outcomes, right? We ask them how they're doing on all of those things. And then we're able to cross-reference and say, like, you know, you are, you know, benchmarked against people all around the world. Here's the places where you might need to improve. And because we have this big, giant database of people from all around the world, that data is, you know, that data set is always growing, and we're able to say, you know, based on what we know to be true today, here are the things that you can drive for the best outcomes. And then the next part of that, which I think is really cool, is that we have the opportunity to anonymize that data and look at it at a global and a regional scale to say, you know, hey, here's the things that are working really well in Canada. Here's the things that are working really well in the US. You know, what are the schools that are getting high outcomes in the Middle East? What are they doing? You know, and we can compare and contrast both within and against different regions. So we're able to see, you know, what are people doing that is working? You know, what does that really look like from the all of the capabilities ranging from basically the start of EdTech planning with the idea of strategic planning and strategic leadership, you know, throughout down to, not down to, that's not quite the right way to say that, but all the way through.
Like that might be up. Like there's some mountains to climb in EdTech implementation,
up,
right?
Yes, up to professional development, network and infrastructure. You know, we cover really the full scale and scope of what is required for great EdTech, you know, planning and implementation. So yeah, it's really cool. And I've been able to do a lot of work lately on looking at some of these trends in the different regions. And that's been really exciting.
So I think that's so interesting because you've like identified these things, like very concrete things that districts should do. You've measured them across a wide variety of outcomes across the globe. And so I'm like, oh, so much stuff. Like, I'm very excited about all the things you probably have learned. Like and I think our readers are thinking the same thing too. Like, you've seen all this, you have all these capabilities, you've talked to all of these leaders and teachers. Like, what have you learned? Like, summarize that into the, you know, what has this taught you about how we implement ed tech successfully? I have a lot of questions about like other ways to implement ed tech too, but for our listeners, and because, you know, we're striving for brevity here, what have you learned? What is the secret sauce?
Yeah. So I'll try to keep it to like three things. Generally, and there's a few places in the world where this isn't true, but generally, people working in education are pretty hard on themselves.
I completely believe that. Like, I'm not even sure that I would need all of your great data to believe that. But
right?
Yeah, we are.
Not a shocker. Not a shocker. But when we break out the different roles of people that are completing the assessment within similar regions, and even sometimes, and I saw this just last week working with a school, their department heads and their teachers are like, you know, not doing so great. You know, like I don't know if I'm engaging my students well enough. I don't know if my outcomes are where I want them to be. And then the same place, the leaders, the administrators, you know, the CEOs of the organization, whoever it is at the leadership level, is going like, yeah, we're great. Things are great. Right. So where do we marry that sense of let's make sure we're being realistic about what's happening in classrooms, and let's also not let the people on the front lines be so hard on themselves.
Which we've talked about before, right? Like yeah. This, how do you accept that you are doing the best that you can? And I think like in what you just said, I heard a couple of things. Like one of them is some of those things are so hard to measure. And so we guess at them. And then also our people in the front line are surrounded by lots of emotions of kids, lots of emotions of parents, lots of emotions of their colleagues. And, you know, those emotions are contagious and that can definitely alter their perception, which makes it really, I think, powerful to have a tool like this where you can just say, hey, you know what, this is what you're doing. And this is why we know it's great. And so I think there's like a little bit of empowerment in there, which I hadn't thought about when I was first thinking about what this tool could deliver.
Yeah. And it's great as well, because it does allow for those collaborative conversations. It does allow for inputs from different parts of the, you know, the school or the district, you know, to be brought forward and really get input from all of the people that need input, you know, to the process, which actually brings me to my second point, that, and again, probably not surprising, but it's super interesting to have the data to support this. What we saw to be true during the pandemic and has continued to be true in most parts of the world is that, you know, the single biggest predictor of continued strong outcomes for schools has been engagement with parents and the wider community. They, you know, and I was talking to, I was at a, not even related to education, but related to mental health and well-being conference yesterday. And the keynote speaker was talking about how cool it was that during the pandemic, he got this window into his kids' learning and how he was like, oh my gosh, like I want to sit in on this class. Like, and it was like junior history. And his daughter was like, no, like go away. He's like, I'm just going to like linger over here and listen, which like kudos to that teacher, for, you know, engaging a, you know, middle-aged keynote speaker in their American history class. I love that. But, you know, there's this idea that all of a sudden during the pandemic, parents had this, right? They had this window. And the idea that helping parents to understand what's happening in the classroom and why it's happening, you know, like, why does my kid all of a sudden have a device that I didn't buy for them? You know, why do they need to do certain things on this device? Why are they, you know, what is social emotional learning? What does that mean?
Fear of the unknown is real, right? Like, you know, we could go on a neuroscience tangent and talk about that one for a minute, but like if we don't know, we fill in the gaps, and parents do that. And so I think this is, it's so key when you don't leave any gaps to be filled in, then everyone's on the same page and you can accomplish something together. Like, huge.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the third thing that has been really consistent in all of the regions that I've been diving into in the last few months in particular is what types of technology in the classroom are leading to better reported outcomes?
I bet everybody listening wants to know what those are.
And again, I don't think this will be a surprise to anyone. It's the types of technology that are facilitating active, collaborative learning experiences. So technology that students can touch and interact with, technology that is enabling collaborative opportunities between students, regardless of where they are. It's things like, you know, game-based learning tools and, you know, software that can help with formative assessments. all of these things are some of the key things that are setting apart. If we take single regions and we look at the schools that are reporting higher outcomes and the schools that are reporting lower outcomes, consistently, the schools that are reporting higher outcomes are reporting significantly more uses of these collaborative, active technology tools in their classrooms.
Which makes complete sense, for sure. So thinking about all of that and your kind of top three. So I am a school system and I really want to drive student outcomes. I'm thinking, you know, as thoughtfully as I can about my ed tech implementation. What is one thing that I started doing would guarantee have an impact on my learners?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that if I have to pick one thing, I want to pick all of the things.
Doesn't work that way. You know that.
No. if I have to pick one thing that I know to be true, both esoterically in my heart and that is consistent in the data, is this idea of stakeholder involvement and particularly student involvement. Not assuming that we know what students want.
And that we stop doing things to them. We start to do things with them.
Right. Mm-hmm. I got to work with a district, Cherry Hill in New Jersey, a couple of years ago, and one of their biggest takeaways from utilizing the EdTech assessment tool was this idea that they needed to engage students more, and they were like totally going down this one-to-one path, and they were, you know, all excited about that, and then they took the tool and said, like, oh, you know, we need to bring students in. We're actually not doing a very good job of integrating with students. And so they, you know, did things like surveys and, you know, brought a student advisory council on board and some of these great options. And what came out of that was the students were like, we don't want your devices. Like, they were not interested in having one-to-one devices provided by the school. And that was like, the whole district was like, wait, what? We were about to go out and spend
all that money.
Yeah.
To give you something that we thought you needed and you didn't. And so I remember talking to that district as well and wasn't the piece there too. So this goes back into kind of like the digital fluency and the, you know, being able to graduate students who are adaptable to technology. Didn't the students then say they wanted access to different devices for different jobs and different activities? And that, like, who would have thought that until we let the student say,
okay. So I think that idea of broadening who you think of as the stakeholders in your tech planning and when you think of them, and thinking of them all the way through. And really making sure that two-way communication is as effective as it can be and finding new ways to do that. And I know that might feel like a big ask to some people, but it's a line of thinking that's worth exploring, potentially reframing that idea of who your stakeholders are in your tech planning and, you know, making sure that the right people of all ages are involved,
right?
And that is, you know, consistently shown to lead to improved outcomes of all kinds.
I love that. I want to celebrate that. And I think that maybe our listeners can look forward to us diving into that, because I'd love to get some more student voices here and the unique things that they've decided to do. I love that. Okay. So I'm going to ask you another tough question, since, you know, I just get to ask the questions today, which I
love it.
Okay. So that I love one thing to start doing is get students involved, elevate student voice, find out what they need and let them have those choices. Is there something that, as you've looked at this data globally, that we should think about not doing? Should we stop things that, you know, have maybe been in our workflows because they've been there for, you know, hundreds of years? What should we stop? And you can say no if there wasn't anything, but I'm super curious if there is something that universally just was not, you know, delivering on the effort put into it.
So I love this question, Chris. And yeah, I think the answer is like kind of no, there isn't anything.
Which is encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think for the most part, we're all doing a lot of the right things. I think when we look at what we are able to determine are consistently things that have less impact, it actually often ends up being the things like network and infrastructure, internet support, things like that. And I think that is actually just by nature of like when that's going well,
don't notice it.
Yeah. When mm-hmm. it's going poorly, it breaks everything. So I wouldn't say like, you know, stop having good network infrastructure.
Right.
We definitely need to keep doing that. But I would say, you know, keep doing that in a way that it can stay in the background. That it can feel like it doesn't need to be important because it's there, because
and we're
it's
not
dependable.
Wasting time having the conversations about it, right? Like
yeah.
we don't need to be involving all of our stakeholders about how do we fix the internet access problem
when totally.
That's a problem we know we just need to solve. And then we can take that time to meaningfully have the conversations about what are the tools that we should be using? What are the things that we need to empower teachers and learners? How do we get the diversity that we need to develop, you know, tech fluency? And that's yeah. a really good point, because there are some weeds we can get lost in that are really just, it has to be there. So let's get it yeah. done.
Yeah. Well, that's part of what I think is so interesting and exciting for schools who have completed this assessment, is that it really, one of my favorite charts that we provide at the end with kind of the report that people receive when they do this is this like 2x2 matrix basically that says like, you know, one axis is looking at, you know, what's your level of development in all of these capabilities. And then the other axis is looking at how important are these things. And, you know, so we're able to really refine and, you know, so that ends up being that, you know, the lower right quadrant, for those of you that are still thinking visually with me, your lower right quadrant becomes the place that's like, these are the things that you are places where you're not as well developed that are going to have the biggest impact. Because there's places that you might not be very well developed that are like not going to have as much impact. So where do you prioritize, right? Because there's always 6,000 things that, you know, a school leader could be prioritizing at any moment in time. So really what, you know, this does is a helps them prioritize, you know what? And then they can come back and do the assessment in a year. They can come back and do it again in a couple of years and say like, you know, okay, this has shifted because we prioritized those things that we needed to prioritize. And now other things are rising to the surface to really help them continue to have a benchmark to guide their strategy, their planning, their PD, all of those places, and make sure that they are continually getting that stakeholder input to say like, okay, you know, we did X and now it's time to do Y to have impact.
I think that's great. Like just that measure of progress. So if we've got listeners who want to try this out for their school or district, what do they need to do?
Yeah. So there's a couple ways you can access the tool. So it's broken down into 5 different modules. So if you are someone who's listening to this and you just think like, you know, gosh, 32 things, that seems like a lot. You can start with a single module. So maybe you want to start with, say, professional development, you know, and then there's ways in the tool for you to share that. Or you can jump in and do the whole thing and take a look at that. You can do that at smarttech.com/profile. You can get started with that. If you are super stoked on what we've been talking about and want to, want to have a more personalized approach, and you want to, have us make some personalized links for you to do this assessment, then we can do that too. And you can email me at the email in the show notes, and we can work with you on that. But yeah, definitely encourage you to go to that website and get started with it. It's a really a really good tool to help guide people with the next steps. And with when we look in the US with the funding that's available, and in other places of the world as well, there's pretty big pieces of funding that are available in a lot of places for technology. How do we determine what's right for investments? How do we determine what's right ways to spend that funding? Sometimes there's just too much information, too many things out there. If you're someone who thinks like, I could really use a hand with prioritizing, or I could really use a hand, giving my leadership advice on prioritizing, we can help you out with that.
And then when people come in and they work with this tool, it's not just a single voice, right? Like when we're working mm-hmm. with a school system, they're able to come in and collect feedback. Just like, we're talking about the importance of having all the stakeholders in there. They're able to collect feedback across that district to come up with the data that feeds out of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I worked with the school last week where we set up a bunch of different codes for them. And, so we had, what does the executive team think compared to the department heads, compared to the arts department, compared to the language department, compared to the science department? What do all these different people think? Where do they agree? Where do they disagree? So really, a great way to get input from different groups and see where you're aligned and see where you can all focus together to take some good next steps.
I love it. Now I know what is going through everyone's mind. Now this sounds like a great tool. And we've just mentioned the website of one of our great partners' names. How much does this cost if people are going to try this out for their school system? Because everybody's thinking that in their head.
Yeah. Well, Chris, it costs nothing.
So exciting. Free right? tools are my favorites.
Right. It costs nothing. And I promise that it's not going to tell you that you need to buy any specific type of technology either.
There's no catch, right? Like, it's honestly just really great really feedback. Isn't. Like, this is.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to call that out because, I get really nervous. I'm like, I'm not clicking that link. They're going to sell my information and call me 25 times and tell me that my car warranty is about to expire.
Chris, your car warranty is about to expire.
So Katie, I loved chatting with you about this today. And as you may know, we have a question that we love to ask our guests. Are you ready? What was the best part of your day today?
You know what? I meditated this morning for the first time in a really long time. I was like on the meditation train for a couple years and then I fell off. And this morning, I don't know if I'm like back on the train, but I like,
you were inspired.
I saw the train go by at least. so that, you know what, and that felt really, really good. So yeah, meditating this morning was the best part of my day so far.
Nice. I like it. Now I feel like a slacker. Thank you for that.
I didn't mean to.
Just kidding. Well, I really enjoyed chatting with you today. I hope that our listeners find all of this valuable, and all of the stuff we talked about will be in the show notes. So check out the survey, leave us a review, tell your friends about us. And we look forward to chatting with you next time on the EdShift podcast.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Chris.